All right, everybody, strap yourselves in for another Tech Doctor podcast. We got a good one coming here for you. Hello, Allison. How are you doing on this fine day?
I'm excited. It's going to be a good one. How are you, Robert?
Doing well, thank you. There's a lot going on around here. Finally getting to be nicer weather, and I like that.
Well, I can't really say anything because I live in like the eternal land.
Yeah, you live in paradise.
Yes.
All right. Well, we do have a really interesting thing to talk about today. We're going to be talking about a brand new app that has just come out, and it actually has to do with one of the things that I know you enjoy a little bit, which is all about shopping.
Just a little bit, yes.
Just a little bit. So we want to introduce the person behind this app and welcome him to the podcast. Chris, we're really glad to have you here with us today on the Tech Doctor podcast. Please just take a moment, if you will, introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about what you do and what's going on with you there in Pittsburgh.
Thanks, Robert, and thanks, Allison, for having me on. So like Robert said, my name is Chris Mari. I'm the founder of a company called Conversant Labs, which builds conversational applications for the blind and visually impaired. And that's my day job. And in my limited spare time, I also helped co-organize the Pittsburgh Accessibility Meetup, which is just a monthly meetup group for people across disabilities here in Pittsburgh.
You meet up once a month and do disability-related things? Or tell us just a little bit about how the meetup works.
We alternate every month between just a happy hour where we all get together and hang out, catch up and network. And then every other month, we'll have kind of content-focused meetups where we'll have three speakers come and talk about generally different topics or variations on a theme. And we've done things where there are a lot of startups here in Pittsburgh focused on accessibility, not just ourselves. There are other people doing mapping of sidewalk accessibility and making that data available to the city to improve the quality of those sidewalks. There's someone who's working on augmentative gaming controllers for people with motor disabilities so that they can interact more comfortably either with video games or computers. And then just tons of research coming out of universities like Carnegie Mellon and Pitt. And they will, you know, speak about the work that they're doing. And we're also, you know, very fortunate here in Pittsburgh that the city government is very accessible. And they've reached out to us and we've worked with them and kind of getting the disabled community involved in various programs, specifically, most recently, doing a survey to find out what the biggest infrastructure improvements that people need to make the city more accessible. And we presented that information to the Budget Planning Committee. Just a lot of stuff across the board. Sports, we do accessible sports. So there's accessible kayaking, wheelchair basketball. We have a group here that's working on yoga and improv comedy for people with disabilities. So just across the board, we work on different things and kind of helping the disabled community, you know, make the world around them more accessible.
That is so cool because, you know, accessibility is huge here in the Bay Area, but it's kind of nice to see it becoming more prevalent in the town where I grew up.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's really kind of become a movement across the country. So many cities either already have or are starting to get these kind of groups, which is bringing together, you know, professionals in the accessibility field with people who are consuming that technology or implementing that technology and really promoting and kind of creating a space where opportunities can exist to kind of push the ball forward in terms of making the world more accessible.
That's really great to hear about. I had no idea there was so much going on in Pittsburgh as far as accessibility goes. I remember years and years ago, back in the early 80s, I guess, there was a very popular bulletin board system, a BBS system for people who are blind, run by a guy named Willie out of Pittsburgh. I don't think Willie's alive anymore, but it was really innovative back then. So I guess Pittsburgh has quite a history in doing interesting things with disability issues.
That's really cool to hear. I had not heard about that. I would love to see kind of the archives of that group and see what people were talking about back in the 80s.
It was an exciting time, but pre-internet, and it was a way for people to connect all around the country and all around the world with these BBS systems. It was actually pretty cool. Of course, we had no idea what was going to be coming this time. And boy, when you think about it, we've really come a very long way from back then to now, especially when we think about this app that you are making available to the world. And it's kind of a unique idea, I think. Could you tell us a little bit about what this application is and what it does? Can we just kind of start there?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you've touched on kind of one of the core principles behind the work that we're doing, which is technology has moved forward so much in the last 30 years that, you know, from pre-internet to everyone having a supercomputer in their pocket to wearables, we're having augmented reality glasses from Microsoft and all of this crazy stuff. But when it comes to accessible technology, we're lagging way behind. Still kind of the primary way that people interact with technology, if you have a visual impairment, is still a screen reader, which hasn't really changed much in the last 30 years. And so because of that, we wanted to see if there's a better way and see if we can create kind of a consumer quality experience. So rather than trying to adapt these visual experiences for the visually impaired, but really design them from the beginning for non-sighted users. And that's what we did. So we've created this technology and this experience for interacting with mobile applications that is entirely audio-based. You speak to the application, and the app will speak back to you. And the idea is that this can work for any application, but we've started with shopping because it's one of these everyday tasks that's pretty difficult for the blind to do independently, even with screen readers. We saw that there was a need there and a great place to start, and that's what we did. So this first app is called Say Shopping. It's powered by Target, so the products you're searching through, and when you make a purchase, you're buying from Target. And you just say, you know, I need sunglasses, and it'll read you a list of the sunglasses that are available. You can get more information, hear reviews, and then actually make that purchase, all just from speaking to the app and having the app speak back to you.
Just to make sure I got it, it sounds a little bit Siri-like in a way. You can speak to the app and ask it to search out something for you, and then it comes back and speaks back to you the information that it found. And I guess that would be right now coming off the Target website. Is that right?
Yeah. So from the user's perspective, it's very similar to Siri. You know, there's a microphone that you're talking into and telling it what you want, and then the app speaks back to you. And that's great, and Siri does a really good job for the experiences that Siri supports. But right now, we're not able to add that experience, or Apple hasn't made Siri available to other applications, so you can have that same interaction with shopping or restaurants and reading restaurant menus or the news or things like that. So we've created the tools to allow developers to go ahead and do that on their own. In that sense, it's a little different than what Siri's doing. And the products are coming from Target. It's not interacting with the Target website, but using, getting really technical, it's not the website. It's what Target has APIs that list all of their product information, and we're using those. And that's kind of the big distinction in what we're doing is pretty technical, which is rather than what screen readers do and taking what's displayed visually on a website or on an application and reading that back to you, we're bypassing the visual representation of that information altogether so that we can order and present that information as cleanly and intuitively as possible for non-sighted users.
So help me understand that just a little bit, if you will, Chris, in the sense that when you ask, say, shopping to find something for you, is it then reading descriptions of what you ask it to find, the same descriptions that one would see if they went to the Target website, or is this some sort of different data that it's getting from somewhere else? I'm just a little confused about that.
It is the same data. So it's the same product names, the same product reviews and product descriptions, but we're not limited to the presentation that they have on the website. We can order those in any different way that we want, or take information that's displayed on two different pages and read them in the same sentence. So it gives us a lot more freedom to organize that data in a way that provides a better user experience that's not possible with a screen reader.
So how does that work? Does your software know how to optimize or organize that data in a way that would be most usable by someone who's using it with a voice interface? Or how does that piece of it work?
So it's a manual process, and in the same way that you build a visual app to provide the best experience for that specific application, we've built the conversational one to provide the best user experience in an audio setting. And how we know what to present is based on kind of usability standards and guidelines, where when you're shopping for something, this is the most important information for you that you need, and so we'll present that to you there. There's still, you know, some gray area and room for improvement, but it's definitely, you know, something that we'll learn over time as we get feedback from users and more people are using the app. But from the baseline, it should be a much less noisy navigation, because it's just the product information and not reading the different elements on the page or on the screen.
Yeah, even as good as current screen readers are, it can be pretty frustrating to try to shop, say, Amazon, or I'm sure probably the Target website or many of the other sites, because you've got so many advertisements and you've got so many, you might want to try this product if you're interested in that product. You've got so many things going on the page that I don't know what it's like for a sight user, but for me as a screen reader user, it can be pretty frustrating and pretty confusing. It sounds like maybe one of the goals of, say, shopping is to try to eliminate some of that frustration.
You're absolutely right. And I think the experience is very different from a sighted and a non-sighted user. They cram all of these advertisements and all of this additional information on the screen because someone who's sighted could just skim past it. They know where the important information is, so they can just jump to looking at specifically that. But that's really hard to do with a screen reader. By making it conversational and only reading the most important stuff to you first, we allow you to kind of have a much smoother experience with browsing for those products. And then if you want to know that additional information, you can ask for it. You can ask for the specific kind of technical details of the product. You can ask for the reviews and the ratings. We don't have similar products right now, but in the future, that's something that you could do as well. And so on and so forth, so that you are much more in kind of in control of that shopping and browsing experience than kind of being forced to use a one that's not designed for you.
What do you think of this idea, Allison? I'm coming to you because I happen to know you are an experienced shopper. So step up to the plate here. What do you think about changing the paradigm and shopping in a way that's more friendly as opposed to navigating with a screen reader?
Well, of course, anything that makes shopping easier and faster is okay in my book. But in all seriousness, shopping on a website or even a mobile app, depending on the level of accessibility, even for experienced screen reader users like you and I, Robert, is oftentimes a challenge. If you're not encountering advertisements, you're encountering just general clutter. If you're not encountering general clutter, you're encountering unlabeled buttons or images. I was just on a website the other day where I was trying to buy something, and the other day it had been accessible, and the next day, literally, I could not get past a certain point on my own. I had to switch to another method. So this has really exciting implications for people who are blind and people with varying disabilities. I really feel that this is going to be revolutionary, and I've used it now. I've used it to buy a book for my mother-in-law. So it was a really seamless, great, quick experience, especially once I was able to save all of my shipping and payment information. I mean, it's just going to fly now anytime I want to buy something.
So how does that work, Chris? How do you get going, get set up on this app so that it has your payment information and so you can just go in and buy something?
As soon as you open the app, you can begin searching and looking for products. It's not until you are ready to check out for the first time that you have to input any information. There's no saved accounts or anything. But when you do provide your shipping and billing information that first time, you have to do that manually. But then moving forward, it's saved for you. And in future purchases, you just have to say your CVV code on your credit card to confirm that purchase. So, you know, subsequent orders are much faster and there are much fewer steps involved.
So in this day of hyper awareness of security and identity theft and all these kinds of things, where is that credit card information actually saved and how secure is it?
Absolutely. So we use the built-in encrypted data store that's part of Apple's iOS keychain. And what's saved there is your shipping information and your credit card information, if you so choose. And following the standards that it's called PCI compliance, which is the payment card industry standards for storing that data. So that's why we ask you for that CVV code every time. So that information never leaves the device. It's always stored encrypted on the person's device, if they so choose, and is only made available when the app is unlocked after the person's entered their passcode on the device.
So it's not quite the same as, say, Apple Pay that doesn't actually store the credit card information on the device, at least as I understand it. But it's a similar idea in that it's stored in an encrypted way in the keychain that I'm assuming would be impossible for someone to get access to if your device got stolen or something like that.
Impossible is a very strong word, but it's as difficult to get to that information as it would be to get to any other data that's stored on your phone. And so if your phone is turned off and has a passcode, they wouldn't be able to get access to that data. So in that way, you're correct that it would be very difficult if you were to lose your phone or someone stole your phone for them to get access to any of that data.
We live in a world these days where the reality is our information is online and in various places and in various ways. And of course, we hope we have really great passwords and good encryption and all that. But it sounds like what you're telling us really is that your app follows the standards and guidelines that are typical for most applications who need access to this kind of information.
Yeah, you're absolutely right that we're following the best practices when it comes to the security of users' data in the device. And when it comes to privacy, we have the same standards.
So we've talked a lot about what it's like to shop using your voice, but maybe we can even take it a step further if you'd be so kind as to actually give us a little demonstration of what it really is all about to use this app. I think that really might help our listeners make this a bit more concrete, if you don't mind.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'd be happy to give that demo with VoiceOver on or off. The experience is very similar for both cases. Which would you prefer?
Why don't you do both? How about starting with VoiceOver off?
What do we want to search for today?
A leather iPhone case.
A leather iPhone case. Let's see if Target has any of those available.
To search for a product, tap on the microphone and say search, then the name of the product you are looking for. You can also tap and say help for other helpful tips.
I need a leather iPhone case.
Showing results for leather iPhone case. 1. iPhone 6 leather case, black, $45. 2. iPhone 6 Plus leather case, red, $49. 3. iPhone 6 Plus leather case, black, $49.99.
These leather cases are pretty expensive. What color are you guys interested in?
The 6 Plus red.
Okay. Show me number 2.
iPhone 6 Plus leather case, red, $49. 5 out of 5 stars. Package quantity, 1 compatible with iPhone cell phones features, compact, opening for camera lens, microfiber lining material, leather closure type, no closure dimensions, 19.7 centimeters, LX 9.7 centimeters, WX 1.
So it's going to go through and read you the details of that product. And if we wanted to get the reviews, you know, I had 5 out of 5 stars, we can just say reviews and hear what other people had to say about the app. So let's try that. Reviews.
My daughter loved her new red case. 5 stars. My daughter is happy and in love with her new phone case, not just because it's her favorite color, red, because it covers and protects her iPhone 6 Plus all the way around. It's not big and crazy like some cases out here. It's very stylish and very well made. Thanks, Apple. And before I forget, she also loves that the case still shows off her Apple log. This case...
So you can go through and read very, you know, descriptive reviews that people have left for different products.
One thing that I was a little bit confused about, and by the way, that really works well. That is so nice to hear how smooth that all works. But one thing I was a little confused about, I thought in the beginning it was talking about the iPhone 6, but then the review mentioned the iPhone 6 Plus. And one thing I was wondering is how you would go about making sure which phone you were going to be ordering for.
Right. So it seems like the phone model is in the title of the product, and it is also in the product details. So that would be the two places where you could ask. So you could ask for the product title again to confirm which model it's for, and also for the details. I'm not sure why this review specifically mentioned 6 Plus. I could imagine, judging by the grammar of the review, that she accidentally clicked on the wrong product to leave the review for. That's a really important thing to be able to make sure you're getting exactly what you want. And that's why we make the specific technical detailed information available as well.
So I was remembering correctly that the title was actually for the iPhone 6.
Let's confirm that one more time. Description.
Showing results for leather iPhone case. 2. iPhone 6 Plus leather case.
Oh,
red.
No, it was in fact for the 6 Plus.
I guess I just misheard that the first time. What was your reaction to that demonstration, Allison?
It's just so seamless and quick and easy. I can't get over how easy it is to get at all the information that you need literally at the touch of a button, at the speaking of a word. It's almost like magic.
That's really nice to hear. That's exactly why we've done this.
And just to clarify, you're doing this particular demonstration without VoiceOver turned on at all. So in that sense, the app is self-voice, and you don't really have to be running VoiceOver to use it.
Exactly right. So we, you know, the primary audience for this, and the people I think who benefit most from this type of application, are the blind and visually impaired, but we think that conversational interaction with applications, as technology moves forward, the way that we interact with our devices is going to be more and more driven through voice. So we wanted the app to be usable by people who could see as well.
Excellent, because I think there definitely will be a market there. I could just imagine people my parents' age, for example, perhaps really finding it much easier to speak that information and hear the information back than to sift through the website. Even though they're both visual, it still can be pretty confusing shopping experience.
One of the kind of biggest kind of beliefs that we have about user experience design is the closer you can get an interaction to people's existing user behaviors, the more comfortable and understandable that's going to be. So, you know, people who are older aren't used to smartphones or apps or email or touchscreens or VoiceOver on top of a touchscreen. They're used to talking to staff at a retail store or talking on the phone, that they're much more comfortable having this conversational interaction. So if we can provide that, the chances of them having a successful experience or being able to, you know, accomplish the tasks that they set out to do is a much higher. There's a much more likely chance for success there. I was doing some iPhone accessibility training with some blind seniors at a senior center here in Pittsburgh, just to see, you know, learn more about what their expectations were and their skill level and how comfortable they are with the existing accessibility tools. And it varied across the board. But for some people, they're like, that's really cool. That would really help me, but I'm never going to use that. I just want Siri to read me the news. And so that really, I think, reaffirms kind of this hypothesis that we have. And so if we can provide a Siri-like experience for all of these different applications, that's going to be a huge improvement to the quality of life and the experience with technology that people have, whether it's a visual impairment or just older and aren't used to interacting with technology in this way.
A lot of our Tech Doctor listeners are voiceover users. So is there any advantage or any reason why one might want to use the app with voiceover turned on?
It's easier. I mean, you don't have to turn it off and on every time you use the app. I don't think you should have to do that. The experience is just as smooth with voiceover on, and we can go ahead and do a demo of that.
Show us what it's like with voiceover on.
Say shopping. To search for a product, tap on the microphone and say search, then the name of the product you are looking for. You can also tap and say help for other helpful tips.
So we're still looking for leather iPhone cases. We want to try something else.
Let's look for an iPhone charging cable this time.
Okay. Lightning 30 pen.
A lightning.
Okay. I need an iPhone charging cable lightning.
Showing results for an iPhone charging cable lightning. 1. Google smartwatch charging cable, black, $14.99. 2. Lightning to USB cable, white, MD818 ZMA, $19.99.
There we go. That sounds like the one we
3.
Want.
3. Belkin 4 feet lightning charger sync cable, blue, FHA023BT04 blue. On sale, $16.99.
Well, that one's cheaper, so let's
to
go
select
with
an
that
item,
one.
Tap on the microphone and say the name or number of the item you are looking for. If you don't hear what you are looking for, try searching with a different keyword.
Select number 3.
Belkin 4 feet lightning charger sync cable, blue, FHA023BT04 blue. On sale, $16.99. 3 out of 5 stars. Features, data transfer capabilities, sync and charge cable cord length, 6.5L connection 1 type, lightning connector connection 1 type, pause, mail button connection 2 type, play.
So the experience is very similar to going through with voiceover turned off. And you can go through the same experience, the same interactions, just in addition to speaking and issuing commands, you know, out loud, you can swipe and double tap using the default voiceover gestures.
Sounds like voiceover does not interfere with the ability to speak to or have the app speak back to you.
It defers to your preferred mode of interaction. So if you have voiceover on, you can just double tap, speak, and interact through the entire way conversationally. Or if you want to, or you prefer to swipe through different items, the app will stop speaking to you and then voiceover will read to you those elements and allow you to navigate that way. But whenever you load a new screen or the app, how it responds to you from taking that action. So if, let's say, instead of saying select number 3 to select that data cable, we had swiped over and double tapped on it, it would have loaded that product information and just started reading it to you right off the bat. And you would have been, the voiceover focus would be on that microphone button again, so that you could choose whether you wanted to continue using voiceover navigation or go back to voice input.
Okay, so if you have voiceover turned on, does that mean then that you can actually swipe over to the information? Say if you wanted to see how some piece in the information was spelled, you could get that using voiceover?
Right now, no. So right now, and this is kind of a decision that we made around the visual design. Since it is a conversational app and the app will speak to you all of the information, that frees up a lot of screen real estate for the visuals of those products. So when you get to a specific product details, the only thing displayed on the screen is the picture of that product, the star rating, and the price. And if you want to hear more information about that product, you speak and say details or product title and reviews and things like that.
Okay, very good. I guess that keeps it a bit simpler and maybe a bit more straightforward for people.
Right. So is there a use case where you would want to get the specific spelling?
If I was looking for a device that had a particular model number, it might be really nice to be able to slow down and take down that model number, I don't know, one digit at a time or something like that. That's kind of what I was thinking of.
That's a really good thought. I think that's something that we could definitely add into to future versions of the app without cluttering the visual interface. We would just put those elements off screen and make them voiceover navigable. And then you could get that information character by character.
So, Allison, you said that you bought a book using this app. Did you run into any issues where you had trouble doing any part of the purchase or anything like that?
No, this was my first purchase I had made with the app, so I had to enter in my information, and that was a pretty seamless process. I bought, actually, Robert, you and I are fans of the Outlander series, so I bought the first book from my mother-in-law in paperback, and it was very easy to select the exact one that I wanted because there were a couple different paperbacks there, and the purchase process took really hardly any time at all, even with having to enter all of my information in. It was really quick.
And you just entered the information in about your billing and shipping and so forth. You did that using the iPhone's keyboard.
Yeah. And the app was very intuitive. And once I entered in my shipping information, it said, would you also like to use this for your billing address? And I was able to say yes. And then I was able to put in my credit card information, and it asked if I wanted to save that. And I said yes. And now the next time I make a purchase, it'll be there.
Very exciting. And I got to say, Chris, that I think it's impressive how quickly the app responds, how it comes back with the information that you searched for. I mean, I think, honestly, people are going to really enjoy using this app.
I hope you're right. It's been really great to hear your guys' positive feedback so far. And I think I'm only hoping that over time, as this app is available, more and more people will have that same experience. That's exactly why we put this app together. So thank you.
I suspect that many listeners will be wanting to try it out. So how would someone go about trying out the app or at getting the app? Can you tell us just a little bit about what that process is?
Yeah, absolutely. So the app is available for download in the Apple App Store for iPhones and iPads running iOS 7 and later. And you can just search for Say Shopping in the App Store, or you can go to sayapps.com, sayapps.com, and there'll be a link on the homepage there, which will take you to the App Store to download it.
And if people should have questions or need some support with the app, how would they go about getting their questions answered?
Yeah, so you can either send me an email at chris@sayapps.com, or I'm on Twitter. You can at message me at cmaury, C-M-A-U-R-Y, and I'll follow up there.
Well, excellent. I think it's really great that you spent some time with us describing this app and actually demoing it for us. I'm just betting that a lot of people will be interested and excited about it. So thanks a lot for coming on and talking to us about it.
Thanks for having me. It's been great.
So Allison, if you can maybe stay off the shopping button just for one more minute, would you mind telling people how they might get in touch with us if they want to talk more with us about this app or anything else we've talked about on this podcast?
Hang on just one second. iPhone leather case. Oh, wait, sorry. Okay, sorry, I'm back. If you'd like to get a hold of us, you can do so by sending an email to techdoctor@dr-carter.com. That's techdoctor@dr-carter.com. We'd love to hear from you. And thank you so much, Chris, for coming on.
Yeah, my pleasure. I really appreciate you guys having me on.
All right, everybody, there you have it. Go out and do all the shopping you can possibly afford. We'll stand behind you on that one. Till next time, this is Robert the Tech Doctor saying so long for now.
And this is Allison Hartley saying bye, everyone.